Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films In a Violent Nature, The Final Attack on Wembley, and A Man in Full.
Well, as I often do, I would like to talk about three very different kinds of films today, all of which are new and all of which are currently out and about. The first one is a horror movie. There seems to be one of these almost every week, but it's a very, very going genre these days. Apparently, a lot of people like horror movies. I kind of do when they're good. You can make horror movies on limited budgets. And it's definitely a genre that's very much in fashion. And the one I'd like to talk about is a new one called In a Violent Nature. I'm not really sure that title makes grammatical sense, but that's what it's called. It is written and directed by Chris Nash. This is Chris Nash's first feature film, although there have been some previous short films and so forth. And In a Violent Nature has gotten a lot of very favorable reviews, and my own feelings about it are, let's say, somewhat favorable and somewhat unfavorable. So here's what it's about. At the very, very beginning, we are introduced to a locket, which is sort of hanging in the middle of a sort of a woods, and we're not sure why we're looking at it, and the camera is paying attention to it and kind of letting it slide into view. And then the movie itself really gets going. And here is the premise of the film. It has to do with that locket. There has been some sort of a catastrophe out in the middle of the woods somewhere. And the locket has been moved from one place to another, and this has aroused a dead person named Johnny. Not the most original name you can come up with for a movie character, but that's it. Okay, Johnny. And Johnny is, he's supposed to be some sort of a corpse, some sort of a vengeful spirit, very similar to the zombies that we see in so many movies. But here there's not a zombie horde. There is just Johnny. And Johnny starts to stalk people. Johnny starts to look for who's got the locket and getting back that locket and where is that locket. So we have a bunch of young people who have come out into the woods to have a good time. And they're doing the kinds of things that young people do, particularly in the movies, to have a good time in the middle of the woods. There's romance and there's sex and there's getting high and there's all that kind of stuff. And in the meanwhile, there is Johnny looking for that locket and stalking people and killing people on what seems almost the movie's timetable. There's a certain calculated distance, I think, between one killing and the next, and that's what the movie basically is. Now, what struck me as most interesting about this movie, In a Violent Nature, was not particularly its violent nature, but was its style. The camera is usually really far back, very removed. And this has a couple of effects, which have been known, by the way, by filmmakers for decades and decades and decades. One effect of this is to give us kind of a distance view of things so that maybe we're a little bit more objective in how we look at things. Close-ups of characters' faces tend to make us identify with their emotions more. This movie takes a different approach. It gives us a more distance, sort of observational kind of attitude toward the action in the movie. Another thing that keeping the camera back like that does is it keeps the characters connected with their environment. So we're always aware of the woods and the atmosphere of the woods. A lot of this movie takes place at night, of the menacing darkness around and so forth and so on, as the characters interact and meet their various fates within this this environment. So that's what I thought was quite interesting about the movie. One other aspect of the style, which some other critics have commented on and which I will not comment on, is that we are very accustomed to movies in the old sort of Halloween vein. I'm talking about the original movie Halloween and Friday the 13th and movies like that that were early examples of the slasher genre. And this movie definitely comes in under the label of the slasher genre. Those movies very often put us into the place of the victims. And here we are almost always in the place of the killer, of Johnny, that walking corpse. And so that's an interesting aspect of the movie. We're kind of with him, and the victims are way over there, and we're with Johnny. Now, the problem with the movie is, I would say two things are wrong with the film In a Violent Nature. One thing is that there's an awful lot of that stalking that goes on. Johnny trudges around. Like zombies in most zombie movies, he sort of plods, sort of one step at a time, step, step, step. And the camera is so often there with him that we are just plodding along too. And oh gosh, I realize this very early on in the movie. There's just an awful lot of this plodding, trudging, stalking. If you like movies about trudging, then In a Violent Nature is the movie for you. The other problem is that the story is just not interesting. It's just Johnny stalking this different people, and every now and again he kills one, and then we move on to the next trudging and the next stalking and the next victim. And oh my gosh, I just found the story really, really dull. So the style was interesting and different from a lot of horror movies, but the story that it had to tell, just not interesting at all. So I have to give a very mixed review to In a Violent Nature as a horror movie. But then again, a lot of critics are really liking it, and I think a lot of audiences are really liking it, and it's got a genuine theatrical release. It's not one of these films that goes straight to streaming. And I do think that the writer-director, Chris Nash, has some talent for this sort of thing. So In a Violent Nature is what I would say is an okay horror movie. Certainly not a great one, but not a particularly bad one either. And it is kind of interesting in its own sort of plodding, trudging way. Next of all, something completely different, a documentary I would like to talk about. And it is called The Final: Attack on Wembley. And oh, this movie was interesting for a couple of reasons. It's by no means a great documentary, but I found it quite suspenseful in its own way. Partly because I'm not a sports person, and I'm not a soccer person, or as they call that sport over there in Europe, and this movie takes place in England, I'm not a football person. So I'm not much on spectator sports. So this is not the kind of movie that I would maybe ordinarily seek out. But I'm very glad I saw it. I found it quite good. Now, this is, again, it's a documentary, and it was directed by the team of Robert Miller and Kwabena Opong. And it takes place, documentary is about something that happened about 3 years ago, in July of 2021, at the famous Wembley Stadium. And what is happening is that it looks like England might win the championship. Now, England had not been in a major, what they call a final, the actual final playoff for the European Championship. England had not been in that final since 1966. So that's a long time between 1966 and 2021. But now England has finally got into the final. And it's going to be a huge deal. The European Championship. England is going to be playing Italy. What an exciting, fantastic, amazing thing this is for English sports fan, and probably for English people generally. So what happened was, however, that the excitement kind of ran away with things. So a lot of people started showing up at the Wembley Stadium to see this amazing match, this final playoff match for the European Championship, the final. The thing is that a lot of these people didn't have tickets. And a lot of the people who did have tickets were, as I said already, starting to let their excitement run away with them. So we have a huge number of people, thousands of people, gathering at the Wembley Stadium, which is not open yet. They're gathering hours earlier than the match is scheduled to start. And what are we seeing? Not surprisingly, we're seeing drinking, we're seeing drug use, we're seeing just overexcited fans, a lot of whom don't have tickets and are determined to get into that stadium no matter what. That's what we have going on. Things are getting more and more chaotic. Mayhem is breaking out here and there in little patches. Things are being destroyed. Just things in the cityscape around the stadium. People are jumping up on things, and they're smashing things, and they're breaking things, and they're getting to fights with each other, and they're getting to horseplay with each other. Some of them are engaging in more mild forms of fun. There's a lengthy sequence with a person who jumps up on top of a bus and sort of yells to the crowd, and everybody is cheering and hooraying. Okay, that's all very nice. But in the meanwhile, there's things that are much more damaging and destructive going on. And then what's going to happen when the stadium opens? So one school of thought is that the stadium has to open now to let people in and relieve some of the pressure outside the stadium. On the other hand, what's going to happen when they get into the stadium? Now, like many documentaries of this type, we alternate between a lot of footage of the mayhem and just general destructiveness and craziness that's going on outside the stadium and later inside the stadium, shot by people with their cell phones and by surveillance cameras and that sort of thing, and then interviews with people who were there. And these are various different kinds. We have interviews now conducted long after the fact with people sitting in a chair and talking to the camera, people who were there for one reason or another just to see the match, and were sometimes without a ticket and determined to get into that stadium no matter what. There are some very interesting bits of interview with a security guard who is Middle Eastern and who runs into some of the racism that was started to go on too during this whole scene, which was another aggravating factor in the whole thing. There is footage of interview material with the guy who ran, who was in charge of the stadium, who was in charge of the whole operation. And so he is one of the people who is thinking about, all right, should we open the stadium, let people in to relieve the pressure? Or once we allow the people in, are things going to get even worse? Then a fascinating thing develops. And this is especially in the interviews with that man who is running the whole operation. And that is, if England wins, the people are going to go even wilder than ever. If England loses, things might be a bit calmer. So this person, this real English football fan who runs the Wembley Stadium, is hoping in a way that England loses the match. Well, I'm not going to tell how things turn out, but it's a pretty fascinating documentary to watch, even if you're not really into sports, which is the case with me. One more thing I want to say. Just recently, I was talking on our show about a documentary called The Sixth, which is about the January 6th riots in Washington, D.C. And this movie, The Final, Attack on Wembley, reminded me so much of The Sixth. We have here people who are going berserk because of a soccer match. We have in The Sixth people who are going berserk because they're upset about the outcome of an election. But the berserkness looks very much the same. And we see how people can just get way overexcited and overinvolved and overinvested in things which really get out of control. So a fascinating parallel between The Sixth about the Capitol riots in America and The Final, Attack on Wembley about a soccer situation in Europe. So very interesting for that reason as well. The Final, Attack on Wembley is streaming on Netflix, and I recommend it. And finally, one more thing, which is streaming. I don't usually talk about TV miniseries, but I thought this one was worth bringing up. A Man in Full, which is based on a novel by Tom Wolfe and which stars Jeff Daniels and Diane Lane and a number of other people, and which is just a good miniseries. And I just wanted to call attention to it. It's not one of the best I've seen ever, certainly not by a long shot, but it's very good, especially because of Jeff Daniels' performance. He's been a wonderful actor for decades, and now he is getting older, but he is full of power. He is full of energy. He is full of conviction. And I found A Man in Full well-written and well-done for the most part. But mainly you get to see this powerhouse performance by Jeff Daniels, and that is really a treat. Now, I'm expressing a little hesitation about A Man in Full, and here's why. The first episode is by no means the best. There are six episodes in all. The first episode is about a lot of people yelling at each other, as my wife put it. Jeff Daniels plays an executive who is a very powerful executive, and his enemies are coming to get him. And they're going to take away his company, and they're going to make him bankrupt, and they're going to destroy his life in every way they can. That's what A Man in Full is basically about. And watching this guy's huge, macho, above it all attitudes, you got to kind of hope that he gets it. On the other hand, it's Jeff Daniels. So in one way, you sort of hope that he does manage somehow to escape all of this. Again, the first episode introduces this, and it's not the best. The last episode I found kind of weak. I was really not persuaded by how some of the plot came out, and especially a big subplot involving a black man who was put into prison unjustly. I found that subplot generally unconvincing, and the last episode resolves it, I think, in an unconvincing way. But there are six episodes, and the ones between episode one and episode six are really good and really powerful. And I'll say it once again, mainly because of the terrific performance of Jeff Daniels. A miniseries like A Man in Full, six episodes, less than an hour each, is basically like a long feature film. And in this case, I mostly enjoyed and was involved and engaged in watching this long feature film. Episode by episode, the episodes are uneven, but oh, those middle episodes are really solid, and Jeff Daniels is just one of the best actors we have. So that is the end of my fairly varied story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, The Films in a Violent Nature, The Final, Attack on Wembley, and A Man in Full.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.